the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So today we celebrate the feast day of Matthew, who is also referred to in the Gospels as Levi, same person. Why does he have two names? I don't know. Why do some people have two names? I remember when I first got here and met Cosmo and didn't know that his given name was Gary, and his wife Cheryl talked about this Gary guy, and I wondered to myself, does Cosmo know about Gary? Well, as it happened, yes, he did. But anyway, we have this man. His name is Matthew, or Levi, and he is a tax collector. Well, how many people here like the IRS? No one likes the IRS, which makes it kind of sad for the people in our parish who work for the IRS. It's not their fault. You know, anyone who enjoys paying taxes is a sick puppy. You know, at best, taxes are a necessary evil, you know, because we need things like roads and the military and stuff like that. But things were way worse back in the time of our Lord, because the tax collecting was done by what was called tax farming. And so you would have a person who was a contractor, and they would be given the authority to tax in a given area. Now, how were they paid? They got to take a percentage off the top. Well, you know how that's going to work. You know, there are going to be dishonest people who jack up the cost of taxes so that they can get more money off of that. Because why? Because they have the authority of the army behind them. You know, you don't want to pay your taxes? Well, these military guys here say you have to pay your taxes. And sometimes they would collect even twice what they were owed, and they would pocket what they didn't give to the government. And so, first of all, tax collectors were seen as thieves, and they largely were. And they were also, where our Lord was, seen as being tools of an occupying army. Because remember, the Jewish state at that time was not independent. It was a client state of the Roman Empire. And so who got the taxes that were collected? Rome got the taxes that were collected. The pagans got the taxes that were collected. And so not only were they thieves, but they were also traitors. And in the case of being a thief, they were also sinners. Because, you know, thou shalt not steal. What part of thou shalt not steal do you not understand? And so it was truly a remarkable thing when Jesus goes to the customs post where Matthew is collecting taxes and says, come and follow me. Yeah, that's a really remarkable thing. Even a more remarkable thing is this sinner Matthew leaves his customs post and he goes and follows Jesus. He leaves his sin behind and he follows Jesus. You know, that's one of the signs of the presence of the kingdom of God, is sinners abandoning their sin and returning to God. And so afterwards, Matthew throws a big party. And who does he invite? He invites his friends, his fellow sinners. And Jesus goes and he eats with them. And the Pharisees are like, you know, you're eating with sinners. And I can just see Jesus looking at them and say, dudes, how am I going to convert sinners if I won't eat with them? You know, it's really hard to call people to repentance when you won't talk to them. You know, Jesus was not confirming them in their sin. Instead, he was challenging them to abandon their sins and to return to fidelity with the covenant of God. There's a big difference between that. We don't accompany a person in their sin. Rather, what we do is we challenge them and accompany them in getting away from their sin. So we have Matthew. He becomes one of the apostles. And he becomes not just an apostle, but an evangelist, someone who wrote down the words and deeds of Jesus. And there were four of these. And you, of course, know who they are: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Matthew was particularly interested in showing that Jesus is the new Moses, and that the new covenant is not a break from the old covenant, but it's a fulfillment of the old covenant. So you could say that St. Matthew's Gospel is the most Jewish of the Gospels because he's speaking to the Jews to show them this is the fulfillment of the Old Covenant. Now, there are people today that argue about which gospel was written first. And, you know, the scripture scholars, they'll say, well, Mark was written first because it was the shortest one. Following that logic, that would mean that the Cliff Notes of Wuthering Heights were written before Wuthering Heights because they're shorter than Wuthering Heights. It doesn't follow. But, you know, there's all sorts of assumptions that are built in there. But something very curious has happened. There was a papyrus found containing a portion of St. Matthew's Gospel, and by two things, by carbon-14 testing, but more importantly, by paleography, which is the study of writing styles, they were able to determine that this Gospel of Matthew was written in the 40s, making it very early indeed, and confirming the traditional understanding that St. Matthew's Gospel was the one that was written first. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.